Hello. I'm going to read something by Aurora Morales. It's called Vahafta. Say these words when you lie down and when you rise up, when you go out and when you return. In times of mourning and in times of joy, inscribe them on your doorposts. Embroider them on your garments. Tattoo them on your shoulders. Teach them to your children, your neighbors, your enemies. Recite them in your sleep, here in the cruel shadow of empire. Another world is possible. Thus spoke the prophet Roque Dalton. Altogether, they have more death than we. But altogether, we have more life than they. There is more bloody death in their hands than we could ever wield. Unless we lay down our souls to become them, and then we will lose everything. So instead, imagine winning. This is your sacred task. This is your power. Imagine every detail of winning, the exact smell of the summer streets in which no one has been shot, the muscles you have never unclenched from worry, gone soft as newborn skin, the sparkling taste of food when we know that no one on earth is hungry, that the beggars are fed, that the old man under the bridge and the woman wrapping herself in thin sheets in the back seat of a car and the children who suck on stones nest under a flock of roofs that keep multiplying their shelter. Lean with all your being toward the day when the poor of the world shake down a rain of good fortune out of the heavy clouds and justice rolls down like waters. Defend the world in which we win as if it were your child. It is your child. Defend it as if it was your lover. It is your lover. When you inhale and when you exhale, breathe the possibility of another world into the 37.2 trillion cells of your body until it shines with hope. Then imagine more. Imagine rape is unimaginable. Imagine war is a scarcely credible rumor. That the crimes of our age, the grotesque inhumanities of greed, the sheer and astounding shamelessness of it, the vast fortunes made by stealing lives, the horrible normalcy it came to have, it is unimaginable to our heirs, the generations of the free. Don't waver, don't let despair sink its sharp teeth into the throat into which you sing. Escalate your dreams, make them burn so fiercely that you can follow them down any dark alleyway of history and not lose your way. Make them burn clear as a starry drinking board over the grim fog of exhaustion and keep walking. Hold hands, share water, keep imagining so that we and the children of our children's children may live. hello again. Okay. My father immigrated from Colombia, and my mother's mother fled from Syria due to violence. I come from ancestors who know the value of the word and that safety is not a given. From a young age, I was taught what it means to come from many different places, and some people will look at us a little too long, and we can hopefully ignore it, and that I'm from here, but I'm also from over there. And as a child, I learned that skin color and age determines too many things. That my friend and I would be followed around in a store, that we wouldn't be able to start exclusive clubs like a queer student union or a black student alliance or MESA, and that I would be called so exotic and beautiful while my friend would avoid the sun so she couldn't get darker. I learned that hate exists and that being hated for existing will stop you in your tracks. But I also learned love from an early age. When I was so sick as a child that my cough would keep me and my family up at night, that my mother would come through the door and brush my hair with her hand, sway over me and scoop me into her arms, intertwined with blankets. That during those nights, the house is touched with the soft hand of moonlight swinging through windows. And when I close my eyes, I can feel the warmth of my mother's body. My mother would sit on the porch with me, huddled, whispering tales that are now secrets to my childhood. She would trace the spoon on the rim of her teacup, and I would sip the chamomile. Honey would kiss my tongue, and she would smile. I hoped to become as warm and as sweet as the tea and my mother. And I learned community and compassion, that my friends and I would hold each other tight, and we would talk all night if there was a problem at school or with our family. That we could stand by each other and honor each other regardless of where we came from or what we looked like, because we loved each other. We saw each other. It is too often in this world where politics and government look like the former, the hate. So what happens when young people are told to participate and be part of a system that is none of those very values that you are taught to be? Gives us empty promises on reducing gun violence, that young black men and women like Trayvon Martin, Atiana Jefferson, Sandra Bland, and Tamir Rice can be shot trying to get to school or the grocery store or even their home for just being black. Not listened to when we say, we only have 10 years left, 10 years until the effects of the climate crisis are irreversible. That students I work with like Grace or Gabriella or Aslan or Andrew will only be 25 or 26, and I will be 34. And our fate will be decided on by people that will not have to suffer the impact of their inaction. A government that has criminally punished and locked up young people of color at such high rates that prisons are now, quote unquote, too small. Where in Oregon we incarcerate young people at the second highest rate in the entire nation. When DACA recipients had parents cross the border or get visas to come here to escape poverty and prosecution, and they're told they cannot stay in the only place they've ever called home. The trauma is endless from these problems. So how do we expect young people to be involved in a system that continuously shuts them out, locks them up, or guns them down? And on top of that, many young people are told that we are not ready or capable enough to handle these issues, that an adult is more ready to and be able to take on that responsibility, since our silence can save us, but it won't. Because these are the issues that affect us the most, the ones that we will deal with 10 years, 30 years, 50 years from now. And the list is long, and the trauma of these disfranchisements is longer. And I wish I could stand up here today and say that things are great and that the problems young people are facing right now into the future are easy things to vote out. We've got it. They're good, but they aren't, and I think we all already know that. And still, even after all of that, the resiliency and the persistence of young people is a force. A force that I see every time I speak with high school students. One of the students I get to work with, Aslan, is in our year-long development program. She is 15. She grew up in a mostly white Portland neighborhood where her African-American and Klamath tribal heritage left her feeling out of place. She is currently the president of the Black Student Union at Wilson High School in Southwest Portland, where she is just one of few students of color. During this past year, the school was marked with racist incidents where some students had repeatedly used racial slurs, which led to threats and fights, and the administrators failed to hold students accountable, and Aslan told me how unsafe everyone felt. So the Black Student Union decided to do something. They began running bi-weekly discussions on social issues involving race, but they decided it wasn't enough, and they called for a walkout to protest the hate speech and the administrators' lack of action. Since then, they have seen something surprising happen, something they didn't expect. Many white students are stepping up and calling out these incidents and standing with students of color, but there's still a lot of work to be done. When I talk to her, I can't believe the general consensus around young people is that they don't care or that they aren't ready to take on these issues. Because in fact, we care so much that we put ourselves out there over and over again and say these things over and over again. And please share the power. Please, we deserve respect in a future, and things don't have to be this way. Like storyteller Kendrick Sampson says, we are the generation that will expose America for what it really is, what we want it to be. We are the generation that will abolish the abusive traits of the government and prove that Black lives finally matter. We are the generation of multiple identities. We are a generation that remembers no one is illegal on stolen land, that water is a human right. We are the generation that says gun reform means police guns too. We will break the school to prison pipeline. We will abolish ICE. We will prioritize mental health care. We will protect trans women. We are a generation that lays our bodies on the line and holds each other so tight that maybe if we say we are human, they will remember. We are the generation that elects true leaders like Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and Ilhan Omar and Ayanna Pressley. We are the generation that finally realizes that if we want to tear down white supremacy, we need to break it with radical love and strength, the very values that people in our lives taught us to live by. And we know and have seen in just the last couple of years that the tides are changing, that youth are demanding accountability, heading to the polls in record numbers, and showing up for the issues that are most pressing for our generations. During the last primary, among 18 to 29-year-olds, voter turnout went from 20% in 2014 to 36% in 2018. The largest percentage point increase for any age group. Across the country, youth are organizing. We're part of something called the Alliance for Youth Action. That means there are 12 other organizations across the country working to abolish things like the school-to-prison pipeline, voting rights, making sure young people are registered and going to the polls. We're demanding action from our government and turning historically red states into swing states. Youth have so much untapped potential and power that has yet to be fully realized, and that's why I work with Next Up, to see the next generation of young people step into the roles of influence they deserve. Next Up amplifies, like I said, the voice and leadership of diverse young people to achieve a more just and equitable Oregon. We do this by achieving system change, developing multicultural bold leaders, and mobilizing voters. We sustain and build year-round cohorts of 30-plus young leaders who gain political literacy and mobilize with their peers throughout the state to change policies, systems, and into institutional practice by way of organizing. We have three different high school-focused programs that make students realize their potential. One student I work with, Amira, she came to our organization about a year ago, and we have this thing called Democracy Bowl where our students do peer-to-peer voter registration in their high schools. And she only registered like 10 people in the fall. And the average is like 40 or 50. But then by this last spring, she had registered 250 people in her high school. And I feel like that's the perfect example. It takes time to realize your full potential, but it is very possible. And now she like runs one of our other student groups, is running like 10 different clubs. She's amazing. Long story short, Amira's great. And believing in the young, in the power of the young vote, has also led us to massive victories. Since 2007, NextUp has championed policies to redesign our election system and uplift marginalized communities, making Oregon the number one most accessible state to vote in. Because of our work, 90.2% of Oregonians are registered to vote, which is amazing. We passed the nation's first automatic voter registration law. So when you go to the DMV and get a license or permit, you are automatically registered to vote. We created a pre-registration program for 16 and 17 year olds. And we know that if people are involved in the system from an early age, they are more likely to vote. We passed online voter registration. I can't believe that wasn't a thing. Most recently, we passed paid postage for your ballots, so you will now get a stamp with your ballots in the future. With our multi-pronged approach to engaging youth in civics, we believe we can rebalance our democracy to uplift the voices of historically disenfranchised Oregonians. And in order to see the world we want, we must create real systemic change, dismantle the structural barriers that our generation is facing, while also shifting power and increase representation of directly impacted communities. Oregon currently has one of the worst criminal justice systems in the country. Wouldn't think it, but it's true. Because of prosecutors and mandatory minimums for youth, Oregon has the second highest rate, like I said, of youth transferred to adult court after Florida. For the past year, we have been visiting McLaren Youth Correctional Facility monthly to strategize with incarcerated youth about how they can influence policy and talk about the harmful effects of Measure 11, mandatory minimums. We know that we must address the structural barriers to the disparities in Oregon. In Measure 11, mandatory minimums are a significant barrier to racial and gender justice. The work is urgent because of the racial impact of Measure 11 is harming our communities in ways that will have consequences for generations. 2012 data shows that Black youth were nearly three times more likely to receive a Measure 11 charge than white youth, and the proportion of Measure 11 indictments were nearly five times greater for Black youth than their peers. Latino and Native American youth were also significantly overrepresented compared to white youth, and the collateral consequences of this policy contribute to the unnecessary cost of taxpayers and the criminal system. We've learned so much about young people in the criminal legal system since the law passed in 1994. Developments in brain science, legal developments, qualitative information about the impacts of mandatory minimums, and data analysis show that Measure 11 does not make sense for Oregon youth or youth in general. And we know further that there's a pervasive myth that formerly incarcerated people cannot vote. I'm here to say they can in Oregon. people in jail can, formerly incarcerated and currently incarcerated youth can. The only people who cannot are in prison. But once you're released, previous felons do hold the right to vote in Oregon. When we went out on National Voter Registration Day, we were registering voters in partnership with Central City Concern. And it's like transition housing. So it was a lot of like previous felons or people who are houseless. And a lot of our volunteers talked about how every single person they talked to didn't know they had the right to vote. And that speaks to the level of disenfranchisement and marginalization of certain communities. And that has really big effects on our political system. And since we know communities of color are overly represented in prisons, what do we think is happening? So we're here to change that, and by bringing voter education and also voter registration and hopefully voting to jails in Oregon, we're not only registering voters, but we're disrupting the very system that continues to harm young people and communities of color. And I could say this is all about voting, but in reality it's not. We believe there needs to be a fundamental shift that acknowledges that Black, Brown, and Indigenous communities and young people deserve to prosper. And we want to see the radical love and compassion and care that our parents or guardians or teachers have given us play out in our government and the criminal justice system. We want to see the vibrant society, one that we believe depend on the active participation and the representation that reflects the communities we live in. We believe that our humanity should and can't matter, and that a day will come when it does. We believe that if we amplify young people's voices towards collective action, shift power, broaden the leadership pipeline, and address the structural barriers that our generation is facing, we'll build a more inclusive movement for a just democracy. By enabling and amplifying the voice of current and formerly incarcerated youth, young people of color, and other marginalized communities, we begin to undo historical and current systems of oppressions and behaviors, policies, and systems. We begin to create tangible systems of change for not only those specific groups of people, but for all communities. Making a more accessible democracy is done for the benefit of all people. After all, it's a democracy. It should be for the people.
Yeah.
That's not happening, but it will. When we instill the importance of cultural competency, knowledge, and anti-white supremacy teachings into our curriculums and programs and policies, we begin to create a workplace, a community, and a world that is centered on connection, empathy, and liberation. In short, when a marginalized community is represented in our leaders, when we all learn from one another, and we all become free, and we all benefit from it. Youth power can and will bring about social and political transformation. So let us remind our government that we can hold each other tight, that we can wrap each other in blankets and sip tea, that abuse is not tolerated and hate is outnumbered. As Arundhati Roy says, another world is not only possible, she is on her way. On a quiet day, I can hear her breathing.
Thank you so much. So an important part of our identity as Unitarian Universalists is working to make the world better. One of the ways our congregation supports this mission is to donate one of our collections each month to a group doing good work. Each year, the Social Justice Committee identifies a theme for these collections and incorporates speakers on that theme over the course of our church year. And this year, we've chosen to support organizations working to expand democracy and voting rights. Today, our special collection will benefit Next Step, the organization that Isabel is doing all this incredible work with. All contributions to the offering baskets today will be directed to this organization to further their mission. So if you're writing a check, you want your contribution to go towards your annual pledge, just specify that in the memo line of the check. If you wish your check to go towards our special collection, just write special collection in the memo line. Thank you. Ushers, please come forward as we give thanks for our offering. In our lives, we are so richly blessed. Gladly do we give back a portion of these blessings so that the mission of this congregation may live in the wider world. Thank you.